Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. You are in for an absolute treat today. I had the chance to sit and talk with Brandon Simmons, who is the Vice President of Project Management at Ready Cincinnati, and he gave actionable advice and insights on literally every single question I asked of him. Our conversation dives into the importance of getting well-rounded experiences early on in our careers, why Cincinnati has been recognized 18 years in a row as a top 10 metro by Site Selection magazine, why awareness of perception is key. We talked about the state of diversity, equity, and inclusion in our industry, and so much more. Brandon really is a rising star in the economic development industry, and I am so excited to share my interview with this dynamic Top 50 Award winner with you all today. So here we go. Let's dig in. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm Faye Davis, and I'm super stoked today. I get to interview Brandon Simmons. So Brandon, thank you for taking time out of your busy day and being here with us. And I want to kick it right off to you because I know you have an interesting story. And I want to know what was your plan when you went to college? How did you get into economic development? Like, talk us through your journey from post high school to where you are now.
Yeah. Wow. Such a strong question to start with. My journey. So you said post high school. How about maybe I'll give a little bit going into college, right? And so, like most, I think my path to economic development was not planned by any means. Honestly, I wasn't aware of economic development as an industry until maybe my junior year of college. I think early on, I really was focused on being a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Then my freshman year of high school happened and my father looked me in the eyes and he said, look, you want to go to college? I want you to go to college. Unfortunately, I can't afford college. So you're going to have to figure out a scholarship. And I think at that point, I stopped caring about anything beyond earn a scholarship, right? It was sports and academics became my focus until it paid off. Mm-hmm. And then I received the football academic scholarship to attend Bucknell University in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, where if you don't know, it's about 40 or 45 minutes or so away from Penn State University. It's right there where you have the Little League World Series, not too far, but a lot of people are not aware of what Lewisburg, Pennsylvania is, but that's where Bucknell sits. Now, I went to college there without a plan. So I think that's probably where I'll start. I went without a plan. Actually. Then I took an economics course and I fell in love. I always hated just doing math, right? But economics seemed to be more logical to me. Numbers with context, a story, statistics that matter, right? It kind of got me excited. It seemed to be much more applicable into our everyday lives. And I would end up graduating from Bucknell with a degree in economics. But even then, I wasn't looking for an opportunity in economic development. I was just trying to make money as quickly as possible. As quickly as possible. How do I make money? And I ended up doing an internship with JP Morgan Chase. And in doing that internship, it was a corporate development program. What you would do is you would rotate every 6 to 9 months to a new position, a new team, a new function. We were basically working within the lines of business, and the program's whole objective was to give young professionals access to the entire organization and allow them to step into leadership roles, help develop them into leaders and leadership thought and strategy. And so I did that, and it was extremely competitive. It was extremely exhausting, but I would say during the time, it was my least favorite thing in the world. But it ended up being, I think, the best professional experience I could have had that kind of helped shape my future story. And so I graduated from that program. When I graduated from that program, I was looking for something different, something a little more mission focused, something a little more for purpose entity. And a recruiter reached out to me. The recruiter reached out to me from Jobs Ohio. And at the time, I had no idea who Jobs Ohio was. No idea at all. And I went from Lewisburg, Pennsylvania to Newark, Delaware, working with JP Morgan Chase. And then I transitioned over to Columbus, Ohio, where I was still working with JP Morgan Chase. And I started to research the company, and it all looked so exciting to me. It all looked, you know, the focus on creating jobs and securing capital investment and new payroll, it all seemed to make a lot of sense. And so I interviewed with a woman by the name of Christy Klaus. She is now the head of talent for Jobs Ohio. At the time, she was the director of projects. And her energy, I had never seen anything like it outside of college football. I mean, she was so excited and so passionate about economic development that I just thought to myself, you know what? I want to be as passionate as you. I don't know exactly what it is you guys are doing, but I want that same energy, that same passion, to be in love with something that much. And so I accepted the opportunity. After several interviews, I was offered the opportunity, and this was in 2013. So this was kind of the start of my ED career, 2013. I think I was like an employee number 15 at Jobs Ohio. Wow. Yeah, so early on, startup, as you can imagine. But I think with a startup comes a lot of opportunity, a lot of opportunity. And I think I appreciated the responsibility. I ended up doing project coordinator work, project manager work, project management work across the entire state, transitioning to then director of project management, overseeing the statewide portfolio, then working in Cleveland as director of Cleveland. And so I had an opportunity to really learn from the local economic developers, the regional economic developers, as well as the state economic developers. And that experience basically helped shape me, I think, into not only loving economic development, but wanting to make it a career. And so, yeah, and somehow I ended up at Ready Cincinnati through performance and partnerships, I guess. But there was a mutual interest when Kim Lauterbach stepped into the CEO seat. The prior CEO, John Reeder, stepped down, and there was a mutual interest for me to serve as the vice president of project management. And I've been in that seat now for about 2.5 years. So
that's awesome. And I love how your both your JP Morgan experience as well as your Jobs Ohio experience kind of they happened at different points, but they run parallel to each other in terms of like giving you this opportunity to see different aspects of the organization in different capacities, whether it's different departments or different levels of economic development, local, regional, et cetera. So I think that's super cool. That's an awesome story. Now you are, like you said, you are now in Cincinnati, and I was recently trawling a little bit around on LinkedIn, and I saw that Cincinnati region has been recognized for 18 years in a row as a top 10 metro by Site Selection magazine, which 18 years in a row is just like, that blew my mind. That's amazing. So what do you love most about your community? And in your opinion, what is that secret ingredient that keeps Cincinnati at the top of that list?
Yeah. Well, you've done your research. that's a great
Thank
question.
You.
Man, that's an easy one for me. I think as I got to see it from a distance while at Jobs Ohio, and then now that I'm physically in the region, getting to see it up close, I think there are strong public-private sector relationships that have trust in a proving economic development ecosystem. It's the best way I would put it. I think I learned this mostly given a recent experience. Ready Cincinnati partnered with Avalanche Consulting, which was acquired by EY, on our 5-year strategic plan. During the development of that plan, there were 200 plus participants working together to identify strengths, weaknesses, and the path forward, right, for the region. When we completed that process, I was really impressed, I think, by the amount of organizations that referenced the strategic plan to influence their plans, and kind of locking in alignment, right? And I think that kind of buy-in just continues to put the region in a really strong position when attracting businesses or supporting existing businesses expanding. Having your local and regional economic developers, educational partners, workforce intermediaries, the private sector on the same page, I think speaking the same language matters a ton in economic development. And I think that's a huge driver in this. I think maybe the other thing I'd mention, I'd be remiss, I didn't state this, is one of the greatest assets of our region is the diverse business economy. Mm-hmm. You see it amongst our Fortune 500 companies headquartered here in Fifth Third or P&G, Kroger, Cintas, Children's Hospital. But you know, the diversity helps lead to collaboration, partnership, innovation. I think more importantly, the business community supports forging relationships. And I think other businesses see that and they're excited to, you know, they're attracted to that energy as well.
I think that's really huge because if you don't have those relationships, whether it's between businesses or like you were saying, public-private partnerships, if you don't have those relationships, you can't get anything done. And you guys are clearly, you're getting things done over there. Brandon, I want to circle back to you personally, because you are a very engaging person. You speak with a ton of passion. And I want to know what your strongest personal quality is and how does that play into your leadership as well as the work that you do? And you can brag. It's okay. Economic developers are notoriously humble and I want you to brag.
Okay. Well, that's tough only because, you know, it's highlighting, right, a strength about you. I'm sure others can look at that and find a weakness, but or opportunity for improvement. And I'm always looking for opportunities, areas of improvement. And so I think if I had to select anything, and I know it's kind of embedded in who I am, I would say that it's probably competitive endurance. You know, much of this is rooted, I think, in the fact that I'm a former athlete and have been an athlete for as long as I can remember. And so I don't like losing. And I'm also disciplined enough to do what it takes oftentimes to go the distance and obtain the end result. And so I call it competitive endurance because kind of willing to last the test of time, so to speak, regardless of the challenges we face. And so economic development for sure is a for-purpose sport, but it's also a metric-driven league, right? Mm-hmm. Key performance indicators are the name of the game. And stakeholders expect results. And so when you combine this with the complexity of projects we manage and the problems we work to solve for the business community, being goal-oriented, I think, in being disciplined in processes, diligent in program knowledge, relentless pursuit of victory has led to results. But you know, with that said, I think being competitive oftentimes still is deemed as sometimes a negative trait. I also believe, however, in building transformational relationships to get to transformational results, right? And so teamwork is also a component of competitiveness that comes out and is huge for me in my sports background. And so I think and I hope that this shines through my leadership most. Being willing to go above and beyond for the greater good of the team, you know, the project, the region, willing to do whatever you ask of your team, if necessary, being the example for the expectations you set, I think
is. I love what you're saying, because I think you're right. Competitiveness in general has like a negative undertone to it. But I think in our industry, it's huge. And if an economic developer does not have that competitive spirit, even a little bit, they're not going to have the drive to go the long distance, the long haul to land the projects to improve their community. But I specifically love that you call it a competitive endurance. And that in the fact that you added endurance in my head just makes me wonder if, you know, does that also mean to you that if you are working on a project and you hit maybe a failure of some sort, that you have that endurance to work through the failure and still meet that end goal later on?
Yeah, no, endurance was very intentional on my part, because I think a lot of people can hold that emotion, or can set the stage and show up that way for a moment in time, right? But ultimately, you know, most competitions that I've been in, whether it's been in sport or what have you, it's usually the person who's the most hydrated, the person who's trained the hardest, the person who stretched before the competition that wins, right? You know, when fourth quarter comes around, right, who's gasping for air and who's looking for more? And so I think it allows you to understand that it's a marathon sometimes, not a sprint.
100%. Right? 100%. And
you're going to be bruised up. Your shins are going to hurt like crazy. Your Achilles is going to hurt sometime. But in order to actually, you know, reap the reward, you're going to have to push through. And I think not being sidetracked by problems, just understanding that in no project life cycle do you experience that problems do not exist. You're going to experience problems. How do you overcome them? And then more importantly, don't be blind by competitiveness, but use it to fuel your ability to work with others and to problem solve, right? And I think that's more the key here. It's not an independent competitiveness. It's more about working with others and troubleshooting real world, real time challenges.
But still bringing home the win for Cincinnati.
For Cincinnati. Exactly.
I love it. Hey, you just started diving into some awesome advice, and I actually want to dive in on that a little bit deeper, because there's a lot of emerging leaders in our industry right now who are looking for advice, and you have made some really impactful career moves, as you just talked us through over the years. And I would really like to know what the best advice you've received is that has helped you move your career forward. And what do you think, you know, how does that tie in with like building your network in order to make these moves that you have? Like, how did you build yours? Give me all the details.
Man, please. All right. So it's weird doing this, right? I hope I'm not talking too much.
No, not at all. I love it. You've got great insights.
But, you know, I think this is tough, because I'm not shy of saying that I've received some great advisory on my leadership journey. From many people. I think the best piece of advice, when I think back about it, is that I've shared this before, but it came to me from a mentor of mine. And it was a time where I was complaining about meetings and happy hours and networking. And he said to me, he said, be mindful to harness the power around you. Be mindful to harness the power around you. And, you know, and for me, I heard it and it sounded like another coach at the time, right? And so I kind of pushed it aside. But what he was speaking to, and you talked about the different changes and movement I've had in my career, for example, was the power of yes, the power of yes, right? And so it's one thing I've learned, the practice of saying yes, but saying yes to the very scary things in your career, right? The things that have risk, but can be scary good end results. I found that getting through those storms, receiving what's on the other end, have made the greatest impact in my career when I think about it. The opportunities that people tell you to run from or how hard it will be usually end up with the highest reward. And oftentimes we're fearful of that. And I think the power of yes is one example of that, but the other one would be the power of presence, right? The power of presence and showing up. And so the first question he asked me was, how do you even know, like, do you even know how you want to be perceived? Do you know how you are perceived, right? And then are you being intentional about that? Are you being intentional about being perceived the way in which you want to be perceived? And he asks because he's, you know, you're saying that you don't want to do all of these things, but do you have any idea as to how it's impacting how you're being perceived? And is it in alignment with what you want for yourself? And I thought that was really important. And it was at a really good time, right? Because I was an independent worker. I thought I was about striving and succeeding individually, not contributing via influence. And I wanted to get to a position where I could contribute via influence. And at the time, if I'm not networking, if I'm not engaging with my team members, if I'm not, how could I possibly contribute via influence, right? And so that was a huge message for me. And then lastly, I think the transition to network, I've always focused on, I think, performance and partnerships. Performance and partnerships, I think, are most important for any professional. I've often tell people in this environment that the only way to build a sense of security is through performance and partnerships. And so it's not about just longevity anymore, right? And so with that in mind, I think intentional networking is extremely important. Intentional networking, identifying the people within your industry that you want to engage with, follow them, understand what's important to them, working smarter, not harder, right? Understanding where they are and going to those spaces. I think building a personal board, right? Building a personal board, working extremely hard to share your value proposition to great leaders, wanting to learn their leadership journey, and then surrounding yourself with that leadership thought, I think is extremely important. And then I think the most controversial one I have here that everyone doesn't agree with, I think it's go get your mentors. Like, go get them. There's this assumption that Jamie Dimon is going to walk by your desk and go, you are the most intelligent person I've ever worked with. I want to train you to be the next CEO. And the reality is that that's not going to, that doesn't happen too often, right? Everybody's extremely busy. And so I want to speak to maybe a less reactive approach to mentoring, to a more proactive approach. And again, ask the question, the worst they can say is no.
Yeah.
Right. The worst they can say is no.
Yeah. Solid advice, solid insight. I love this, the performance and power, partnerships. And I really like that you brought attention to the way we are perceived, right? And like having that strategy behind, do you know how you want to be perceived and how you are being perceived right now? So Brandon, I'm going to end on this one last question because we're running a little short on time, and I wish I could talk to you for literally 45 more minutes because you have clearly thought through a lot, not just the impact that your journey has already had on you, but how you can have an impact in the future. And so everyone hopes to leave some sort of legacy, of course. So what do you hope to impact or change most within the economic development industry?
I've thought about this question a lot. I thought about it many times prior to this podcast. I've thought about it. And I think for me, economic development is starting to be more inclusive programmatically, mm-hmm. as it supports businesses with underrepresented population ownership or helping to support catalytic development in distressed communities. There's been a recent surge of diversity, equity, and inclusion strategies across the country. And it's good to see. It's really good to see a focus on inclusive growth take form. But I still do not see the diversity within the economic development industry. If I'm being honest, in majority of all the rooms I walk in, I'm the only African-American male, usually present. If I'm being open, continuing to be open, the main reason I didn't leave the industry after 8 years is because I figure it has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere. And so, why is that important? Well, I think we can all agree that most regions across the state want a diverse business economy as it helps resiliency during economic downturns and sparks partnerships that lead to innovation. But I think this is no different in diversity and leadership thought and perspective. Oftentimes we are forced to offer solutions that require inclusive strategies, right? And you need a different perspective and a different lens and understanding of existing problems. And so diversity of people, thought, background is crucial to our region, to our country, in long-term success. And I think in the end, my hope would be to perform, to build partnerships and show there's a place for minorities within economic development. I think that would sum it up for me. I think there are ways that you can do this. I think there are some solutions out there, I think, drive awareness, I think, is really important. I think engaging with organizations that focus on inclusivity, if possible, you know, working to be the representation of, be the representation for the business community on what helps drive overall economic growth, and that's inclusivity. And so I think that would, that's my hope.
I think that's such a, it's such an awesome, awesome thing to aspire to, because you, it's just like what you said, right? There needs to be diversity of people, of thought, of background, socioeconomic status, race, gender, sexual orient, like everything needs to be looked at under a harder lens, but just more focus on why is there so little diversity in our industry. And I think that's, you know, that's an adaptive challenge that nobody really has a solid answer to or an easy solution to. But for you to be so passionate about that, Brandon, I think you are nowhere near topping out your career. I think you are a person to watch. I think you are a 1,000,000% deserving of your America's Top 50 Economic Developer nomination and award this year. And I feel so lucky that I got to have this conversation with you, because I've learned so much from you. I can't wait to, you know, send this out to our listening audience. And just thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate your time.
No, the pleasure was all mine. And I mean, you all highlighting anything regarding economic development and amplifying our industry is always extremely encouraging. And all that you all do beyond this, extremely appreciative, extremely humbled by the honor, by the award. And hopefully I get to see you guys in December.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.